Good morning. I want to thank Pastor David for giving me this opportunity to preach today. Many of you who know me may be thinking, does this guy even talk? I get that a lot. I'll get into that a little bit more in the message. But to start with, Warren Wiersbe recounted this story of a girl in church. This particular Sunday, their church had a big stained glass window in the back that depicted Christ on the cross. This particular Sunday, they had a guest speaker, and he was significantly shorter and smaller than the normal pastor. So the young girl was attentive and listened to this guest preacher for a while, but then she turned to her mom and said, where is that man that normally stands up there so he can't see Jesus? That's a funny story, but it illustrates a point. We as fallen creatures can often exalt a man or a man's wisdom above the cross, and we can lose sight of that focus. We need to realize that a man or man's wisdom is not a worthy focus and is not a firm foundation. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5, provides for us a worthy focus and a firm foundation for our faith, for our lives, and for our ministries. So if you would, turn with me there to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. To give you a little bit of background, Paul had founded the Corinthian church on his second missionary journey in 51 AD. He had left from Corinth to go on his missionary journey onto Ephesus. And approximately 3 years after he left Corinth, he wrote this letter to the Corinthians because he had heard of problems that had arisen in the church. In chapter 1, there are divisions in the church because after Paul had left, Apollos and Cephas, Peter, had come in after him and had ministered to the church there. The people were beginning to claim that person. They said, I'm with Paul, or I'm with Peter. Others, I'm with Apollos, or I'm with Christ. And Paul says to them, is Christ divided? He assures them he is not. It was not Paul that was crucified for them. It was not Paul whose name they were baptized in. And Paul demonstrates what his whole ministry was about. It wasn't to baptize, but he was sent to preach the gospel, not with his clever words, so the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its effect. And he goes on to talk about the distinguishing factor between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. The gospel is a stumbling block to the Jews, and it is foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who believe in it, it is the power of God for salvation. And God's weakness is stronger than human strength, and his wisdom is wiser than human wisdom. He goes on to say that God has chosen the world's insignificant to proclaim his message. And it was with that background that he comes to chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I'll read there. When I came to you, brothers, announcing the testimony of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. So we see in verses 1 and 2, Paul's manner of coming and his message. And his manner and his message give us a worthy focus. It demonstrates his focus, which was on Christ. In his manner, he came announcing the testimony of God. This This word here, testimony, in some manuscripts, it's the word for mystery. And Dr. Patterson, in his commentary on this verse, says that whether it's testimony or mystery, it doesn't matter, because Paul is not coming to bring his own wisdom, but he is bringing a message and a revelation from God. And he says, I did not come to you with brilliance of speech or wisdom. The Corinthian people had these sophists that were wise. They were philosophers. They were emphasizing speech. And Paul came to them not with brilliance of speech or wisdom. His desire was not that he would be lifted up, but that Christ would be lifted up. And later on, in this book, Paul says that they had claimed about him that he was bold in his writings, but in his physical presence, he was weak, and his speech was not strong. So we move on from his manner to his message. He says, I determined to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. That message is a summary of Christ and his work. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul summarized his message to the Corinthians. It says, for I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to us. Paul didn't want to exalt himself above the message. He wanted the Corinthians to know the power of the gospel. So that was what we are saved by. On September 1st, 1983, a Korean Air Flight 007 left from JFK Airport in New York, headed towards Seoul, South Korea. They stopped in Anchorage, Alaska to refuel and returned on their flight to their ultimate destination of Seoul, South Korea. The pilots put the plane on autopilot as they left, and unbeknownst to them, the plane began to go off course. Hour and a half into the flight, and they were 12 miles off course. 4 hours into the flight, and they were 185 miles off course, and they found themselves in a dangerous position. They had flown into Soviet airspace. The Soviet military gave the command to shoot the plane down. That command was executed, and all aboard the plane died. It was unintentional that they got off course, but that veering off course was disastrous for them. And the same thing can be for us. Andy Stanley, in his book, The Principle of the Path, that basic principle is that ultimately your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. In our Christian lives, our intended focus is often Christ, but we can begin to veer off course if we're not careful. Christianity can become about moralism or legalism of, I have to do this or I have to do that in my own power. I can do this. I can be a moral person. I can do what God has called me to do on my own. But that's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is about Christ coming and doing what we couldn't do. And our focus needs to be on him, as he is the only worthy focus of our faith. So as we get that worthy focus, that focus on the cross that Paul had, and he moves on in verses 3 through 5 to demonstrate his person, to demonstrate where his power came from, and he leaves us with a final plea. And all of this sets up the firm foundation for our faith. So in verse 3, he says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. This could be various things. Paul in Romans 7 says, I do not do the things that I want to do, but I do the things I hate, for sin is living in me. He is weak in sin. It may be his physical presence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about the thorn in his flesh. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And Paul realized that in his weakness he was strong. That he came to them not like the sophists who were wise in human wisdom and they were good at speaking. He came weak and trembling. And I can concur with Paul on that. So my own weakness, growing up, I've always been a shy person. I never imagined that I would be called to ministry and called to do this. But God has brought me here. And we'll get into that in the next verse too. But Paul just demonstrates his weakness. He did not in any way feel adequate for the call of God on his life. And I do not in any way feel adequate for the call of God on my life. But Paul had a confidence that came from knowing Christ. Paul in Philippians, he says, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was, in accordance to the law, he was able to boast because he upheld it, but he counted all that law as loss in comparison to knowing Christ. So in our inadequacies, Christ can use us, and he says in verse 4 where his power came from, that my speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power. He says that his power came from the Spirit of God. Acts 1:8, Jesus says to the disciples, your power will come upon you, or the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will receive power to be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, and the end of the earth. That power is accessible to all of us as Christians. And we're all called to be witnesses. We're all called to speak the gospel. So that focus of the gospel that that Paul had in his ministry should be our focus as Christians to share with the world that needs Jesus. And when we feel weak, we can know that we have the power of the Spirit enabling us and empowering us to do what we can't do on our own. And Paul knew that if he simply persuaded the Corinthians to believe what he came to preach, that if somebody more eloquent of speech, more persuasive came, bearing a different message, their faith would easily be turned. But we get this idea, though, that Paul was plugged into the power of the Spirit. I get this idea of as I play the guitar, if you don't plug that guitar into the amp, it doesn't make any noise. It's not effective. If we're not plugged into the Spirit, if we're not empowered by the Spirit, we are ineffective in our witness. So in verse 5, Paul comes to the ultimate climax. The whole reason for his manner, his message, his demonstration of his person and his power, all comes down to this verse. He says, all of this happened, all of this reason for my coming, so that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Paul understood that any other foundation was weak and easily crumbled. And in chapter 3, he explains this to them. He said, according to God's grace that was given to me, as a skilled master builder, I have laid a foundation and another builds on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it, because no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid, that is, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only firm foundation. And Jesus speaks this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed, and its collapse was great. So we have the option of choosing what our faith is founded on. It would be founded on the firm rock that can't be moved, Jesus Christ, or it will be founded on man's wisdom and on man, which is a weak foundation that can easily be washed away. And Paul's plea is that our faith would not be based on man's wisdom, but on God's wisdom and on his power, the power of the gospel. In Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, then to the Greek. And I've seen the faith that is based on other things crumble. This girl in my youth group, she had started coming to our church, and our youth pastor confronted her with her sin, and she left angry and said, you've caused me to lose my faith. The faith based on anything less than Christ that so easily has crumbled is not a faith at all. So I urge you guys today just to consider where your focus is, where your foundation lies. Is it on Christ or is it on something else? But Christ is the only worthy focus and the only firm foundation for our faith, for our lives, and for our ministries. Without his power, nothing has changed. The gospel message is all that can transform a life. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that you use the weak to confound the wise, Lord, and I thank you for this message and for Paul's heart and his example. Lord, I pray that we would know that it's only in you that we have hope. It's only in you that we have peace. Lord, I just pray that if anyone here has lost their focus on you, has founded their faith on anything other than you, that they would know you today, Lord, and put their faith and their hope in you. Lord, I just thank you for all that you do and all that you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.